Welcome to our service this morning of celebration for the birth of that Messiah. And all those statements, all those prophecies, all those facts we know are true of the God and of the Son that he sent into the world. And it is the birth of that Son, our Messiah, that we are here to celebrate this morning. A lot of what I'm presenting is very short, but hopefully there will be within it a message that you will take. I don't need to say too much about Christmas Day. You're here because you realise what the day is and you want to join in that praise and celebration and then obviously spread that out to your family and friends that you'll be with. Hopefully I can just bring one or two different thoughts that might just rest with you and just put slightly different perspective on this wonderful day of celebration.
And so as we commence our service this morning, we're just going to light the fifth candle, well, all five of them, and remember the leading up, the Advent leading up to Christmas. Christmas Day is the beginning of the fulfilment of the promise God made to Adam and Eve when God rightly sent them into exile from the garden for disobeying God's instructions. Even as they entered the world of darkness, as it is now, God had already put in motion the fulfilment of his promise that light would come and the relationship between God and humankind would be restored. Isaiah the prophet wrote, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." The Christ candle symbolises Christ, the light of the world. As we light the Christ candle, we give thanks that Christ did step into the darkness to light the world. Because of him, we can be a light unto others, showing them the true meaning of Christmas. Christ connects all the Advent candles because through Christ we can have hope, peace, joy and love. Let's pray. God of all, you sent your gift of pure love to us that first Christmas to bring light to the world. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Messiah and ruler of all, came not as a lion, but as a lamb. In him, you came as an innocent baby whose purpose was to walk this earth in complete love, and then to sacrificially give your life because of your love for each and every one of us. Father, please fill our hearts and minds with the significance of this truth. Thank you for loving us enough to give us the greatest gift of all, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And I suppose that really picks up part of my theme today, which is all about the greatest gift, and that greatest gift being love. So I want to share with you a poem called The Holy Infant. In the presence of the lowly beasts, the Prince of Peace was born, and to his earthly joyous cries, they bowed low head and horn. The shepherds stood in wonder as the child they stood before. The child the angel told of lay before them in the straw. Countless miles the Magi came, having travelled from the east. In lavish robes they knelt before him and bowed lowly like the beasts. Gold, frankincense and myrrh were laid reverently before his stall. Precious gifts brought from afar for the holy infant born for us all. I'm going to tell you the story now behind a Christmas song, not a Christmas carol. It's a song that you will all know. It really has no relevance to the Christmas story as such, but later in the service, I kind of want to bring it in as a sort of part of the thoughts of my thinking for today. I've always been quite interested in the stories of some of the songs and the hymns that we sing and how they came to be written. And some of them have an amazing depth in them, either born out of joy or born out, very often born out of sorrow
when, like the psalmist, these people are pouring out their hearts and it becomes into a hymn. So this is the story behind the writing of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Okay. Which starts quite depressingly, but bear with it, okay? So a man named Bobber May, was depressed and broken-hearted. His wife was dying of cancer, and he stared out of his drafty apartment window into the chilling December night. His four-year-old daughter, Barbara, sat on his lap, quietly sobbing. Little Barbara couldn't understand why her mummy would never come home. Barbara looked up into her dad's eyes and asked, "Why isn't mummy just like everybody else's mummy?" Bob's jaw tightened and his eyes welled with tears. Her question brought waves of grief, but also of anger. It had been the story of Bob's life. Life had always been different for him. Small when he was a kid, he was bullied by other boys who called him names, and he never seemed to fit in. However, he did complete college, married Evelyn, and was grateful to get a job as a copywriter at a company called Montgomery Ward. He was blessed with his little girl, but it was all to be short-lived. Evelyn's treatment for cancer stripped them of all their savings, and Bob and his daughter were forced to live in a two-room apartment in the Chicago slums, where Evelyn died just before Christmas 1938. Bob struggled to give hope to his child, for whom he couldn't even afford to buy a Christmas gift. But if he couldn't buy a gift, he was determined to make one. A storybook. Bob had created a character in his own mind and told the animal's story to little Barbara to give her comfort and hope. The character he created was a misfit outcast like he felt he was, a little reindeer named Rudolph with a big, shiny nose. Bob finished the book just in time to give it to his little girl on Christmas Day. The general manager of Montgomery Ward, where he worked, learnt of the little storybook and offered Bob a nominal fee to purchase the rights to the book. Wards went on to print Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and distribute it to children visiting Santa Claus in their stores. By 1946, Wards had printed and distributed more than 6 million copies of Rudolph. That same year, a major publisher wanted to purchase the rights from Wards to print an updated version. In an unprecedented gesture of kindness, the chief executive of Wards returned all the publishing rights back to Bob. The book became a bestseller, and many toys and marketing deals followed. Bob, now remarried with a growing family, became wealthy from the story he created to comfort his grieving daughter. In 1949, Bob's brother-in-law made a song adaptation about Rudolph. Though the song was turned down by some popular artists of the day, eventually it was recorded, and on its release, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer became a phenomenal success, selling more records than any other Christmas song, with the exception of White Christmas. The gift of love that Bob created for his daughter so long ago kept on returning back to bless him again and again. And Bob learned the lesson, just like his dear friend Rudolph, that being different isn't so bad. In fact, being different can be a blessing. So hold on to that story, because we are, as I say, returning back to it as part of my reflection, if you like. I'm going to tell you the story now behind a Christmas song, not a Christmas carol. It's a song that you will all know. It really has no relevance to the Christmas story as such, but later in the service I kind of want to bring it in as a sort of part of the thoughts of my thinking for today. I've always been quite interested in the stories of some of the songs and the hymns that we sing and how they came to be written, and some of them have an amazing depth in them, either born out of joy or very often born out of sorrow. When, like the psalmist, these people are pouring out their hearts and it becomes into a hymn. So this is the story behind the writing of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Okay. Which starts quite depressingly, but bear with it, okay? So a man are named Bob May. Bob May was depressed and broken-hearted. His wife was dying of cancer, and he stared out of his drafty apartment window into the chilling December night. His four-year-old daughter, Barbara, sat on his lap, quietly sobbing. Little Barbara couldn't understand why her mummy would never come home. Barbara looked up into her dad's eyes and asked, "Why isn't mummy just like everybody else's mummy?" Bob's jaw tightened and his eyes welled with tears. Her question brought waves of grief, but also of anger. It had been the story of Bob's life. Life had always been different for him. Small when he was a kid, he was bullied by other boys who called him names, and he never seemed to fit in. However, he did complete college, married Evelyn, and was grateful to get a job as a copywriter at a company called Montgomery Ward. He was blessed with his little girl, but it was all to be short-lived. Evelyn's treatment for cancer stripped them of all their savings, and Bob and his daughter were forced to live in a two-room apartment in the Chicago slums, where Evelyn died just before Christmas 1938. Bob struggled to give hope to his child, for whom he couldn't even afford to buy a Christmas gift. But if he couldn't buy a gift, he was determined to make one. A storybook. Bob had created a character in his own mind and told the animal's story to little Barbara to give her comfort and hope. The character he created was a misfit outcast like he felt he was, a little reindeer named Rudolph with a big, shiny nose. Bob finished the book just in time to give it to his little girl on Christmas Day. The general manager of Montgomery Ward, where he worked, learnt of the little storybook and offered Bob a nominal fee to purchase the rights to the book. Wards went on to print Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and distribute it to children visiting Santa Claus in their stores. By 1946, Wards had printed and distributed more than 6 million copies of Rudolph. That same year, a major publisher wanted to purchase the rights from Wards to print an updated version. In an unprecedented gesture of kindness, the chief executive of Wards returned all the publishing rights back to Bob. The book became a bestseller, and many toys and marketing deals followed. Bob, now remarried with a growing family, became wealthy from the story he created to comfort his grieving daughter. In 1949, Bob's brother-in-law made a song adaptation about Rudolph. Though the song was turned down by some popular artists of the day, eventually it was recorded, and on its release, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer became a phenomenal success, selling more records than any other Christmas song, with the exception of White Christmas. The gift of love that Bob created for his daughter so long ago kept on returning back to bless him again and again. And Bob learned the lesson, just like his dear friend Rudolph, that being different isn't so bad. In fact, being different can be a blessing. So hold on to that story, because we are, as I say, returning back to it as part of my reflection, if you like. So there you have it. Give a little love. The greatest gift is love. And I suppose that is my theme, and that's my take-home message to you this morning on this wonderful day. And so I just want to go back to when I was telling you the story of Bob May and the writing of the storybook that was Rudolph. Love can be spread in so many different ways, and in ways we don't perhaps always mean or intend, but it's amazing how it happens. When Bob wrote that story, all he wanted to do was to show his love to his daughter, whose mother had just died and whose finances didn't allow him to buy her anything. And whilst we can acknowledge that the writing of the story was beneficial to him in the future years, we have to remember all those 6 million children that heard that story and perhaps were able to relate to that little reindeer, because they might have felt different, might have felt bullied, might have felt any of the emotions in that. And so we don't know what will result in any gift of love we give But we, because of our Christian roots, can be sure that God will use that love, that gift, whatever it might be, and it should encourage us. They say it's better to give than to receive, and I think for a lot of us, that's true. We feel very blessed, well, I certainly do, in being able to give. And I do think of those parents who, for this year, maybe can't give the gifts they would want to their children. Yes, they can give love in other ways, but they may not realise it. And we also give in the way that we serve others. We show our love for the way we reach out and serve others. And just a very simple example was last Sunday evening at the end of our carol service. We're not normally here in the evenings, but a lady came in and we were able to give her some food and a little bit of comfort, a little bit of love for her to go on her way. Whether we'll ever see or hear of her again, I don't know. But we were able to give, to serve in that very small way and to show our love. And it's true that we allow God to use us to spread his love to others. It's not enough for us to receive it. We have to give it to others. The more love we receive from God, the more we should want to spread it and the more we should want to share it with others. John was regarded in quoted as being the disciple whom Jesus loved. And of course, Jesus loved them all, just as he loved us all. But given the story of John and Jesus and their relationship, and as I mentioned, the way Elizabeth and Mary were intertwined in the story, he probably felt God's love as much as anybody else. But this feeling, this being special, didn't make him act like a spoilt, special, selfish person. Instead, this made him love others more. This made him spread God's love to others. He wanted to share his love with God, of God with others, so that his, and indeed for us, our joy may be complete. Is our joy complete if we have this love, but don't pour it out, share it with others? God loves us too. There are a lot of blessings in our lives that we don't deserve if we only become sensitive and appreciative. There are a lot of things we should be thankful for. God has been making his love alive in our lives in so many ways, and this should want us, move us to spread that love to others. So as we this Christmas time celebrate the greatest gift that would ever be given, may we be inspired and encouraged to spread God's love to others in whatever way we can, always remembering that we will be truly blessed as the giver, as well as the person receiving it will be blessed. And I just want to close this little bit with just a very short poem called God's Greatest Gift. God's greatest gift was sent to all. He was born in a lowly manger stall. The gift of Jesus to those who believe is a gift of love and life for all. God's love was shown in his Son. He came that we may live as one. Our thanks and our praise cannot express our love for God that brings happiness. So at this Christmas time, rejoice. Praise the Lord with your voice. The miracle of that special birth shows how much God thinks you're worth. Let's pray together. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have spent this time together this morning on this very special day. We thank you for the greatest gift that was ever given, the gift of your Son and all the love that came with it. And it is our responsibility as we receive that wonderful love to spread it out to others, to be blessed in the giving as well as receiving. So we thank you and we ask your blessings on the rest of our day, however we may be spending it. And we just thank you once again. We do pray for those for whom this day is really difficult. There are so many people who will not be able to celebrate in any way, shape or form around this world. And we know who they are. We know the countries.
where they are, and we know that life is not different for them today just because it's Christmas Day. And we just pray your blessings on those that are trying to help, to reach out and to make a difference. And as we finish, we thank you once again that we are the receivers of your love through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.